Okay, magandang umaga po muli sa lahat. This is the month of October at sa tradisyon o practice ng ating iglesia ay ito ang buwan na ginagamit natin ng ating Sunday School para sa mga usapin na may kinalaman sa Reformasyon. So we call this our Reformation Month. It commemorates the beginning of the Reformation in the 16th century at ang talagang pangyayari ay naganap isang araw ng October. Siguro bigyan natin ng medyo modernong pagsasalaysay yung nangyari. Isang araw ng October, bumangon ang isang German priest o monk na si Martin Luther mula sa kanyang silid. And when he turned on his TV, he saw a breaking news on CNN na sinasabing there is this Dutch priest going around town and selling indulgences. And nung ito'y pakinggan ni Martin Luther, dinownload niya mula sa YouTube at narinig niya sa iPad ni Tetzel yung kanyang jingle na once the coin on purgatory springs, once the coin on the coffee rings, the soul from purgatory springs. Ang kanyang pinagbibili ay yung kalayaan ng mga kaluluwa mula sa purgatorio. At yun ang kadahilanan na masyadong nagalit itong si Martin Luther. At ang kanyang ginawa ay agad siyang pumunta sa kanyang Facebook account at nag-post ng kanyang post sa kanyang Facebook. At ang post na yon ay nakilala bilang 95 Theses. That's the Reformation Day if it happened in 2013. However, it actually happened in 1517. So it happened on October 31, 1517. At ang mga bagay na isa na supubliko noon ay walang Facebook, walang internet, walang television, walang kahit ano. Sa halip, ang ginawa lamang niya ay kilala ngayon as the posting of the 95 Theses. Siya ay isang monk, kaya sa simbahan niya ipinako yung kanyang mga usapin na gusto niyang pagtalunan at pag-usapan ng kanyang kapanahunan. Hindi naman niya akalain na ito ay kakalat, gusto lamang niyang pag-usapan sa kanyang lokalidad. Ngunit nakita ito ng mga tao, bagong-bago pa lamang ang teknolohiya noon, ang printing press ni Gutenberg. At ang ginawa nila, ito'y kanilang nilimbag, kumalat sa buong Europa, nakarating sa Papa, at it shook the whole of Europe, and in fact, it had an impact upon all of history, and so, as we say, the rest is history. Yung epekto ng Reformation na ginawa ni Martin Luther ay hanggang ngayon damang-dama pa natin ang epekto nito. At tayo ay gumagamit ng buwan ng Oktubre para alalahanin natin ang mga pangyayari noon at upang magbigay diin tayo sa mga bagay na binigyang diin sa Reformation. So during the Reformation month of October, this is the time we are using the occasion in order to study historical, theological, practical lessons relevant for application today but drawn from the Reformation. So ang ating iglesia ay nagbigay ng formal na desisyon nung isang taon na tayo ay tumatanggap ng panawagan mula sa ating Diyos bilang reformer sa iba't ibang iglesia. Ito nga noong nakaraang taon ay binigyan tayo ng matagumpay na pagsisimula ng ating Reformed and Reforming Conference at harinawa ay bigyan pa tayo ng isa pang mabungang Reforming Conference ngayong susunod na October 22. Pero ito na yung naging panawagan sa atin bilang iglesia at tinanggap natin ito ng maluwag. Gusto kong idiin muli na this is not my calling, this is not my ministry. I have never looked at it that way. This is our church's calling, this is our church's ministry, and therefore we together accept the corporate responsibility na tanggapin natin ang ganitong panawagan. At isang bagay ito na kailangan nating alamin sapagkat ang pangunahin sa pag-usapin ng Reformasyon ay sa ating bansa. Gusto nating kasangkapanin tayo sa ating bansa. And that means we need to understand where we are at as far as churches today are concerned. Yung unang Reformasyon, 16th century, the main antagonists were the reformers against the mainstream Catholic Church. Sa reformasyon na ating sinusulong ngayon, ang pinaka-area na ating tinitingnan ay sa ating bansa mismo. So what we need to do is to understand and to appreciate where Reformation is going as far as evangelical churches are concerned. Now, evangelicalism began with the coming of the Americans, pero bago yun, we were for more than 300 years under Spain, which meant the Roman Catholic Church has a very widespread influence sa ating bansa. Kaya yung mga evangelicals ay nakilala lamang bilang hindi katoliko sa mga unang pagkakataon. Tandaan natin ang ating bansa. Itong mapa ng Pilipinas divided into the 14 archdioceses of the Roman Catholic Church. Kaya ang punto natin dito ay we are still very much a Roman Catholic country in terms of religious profession. Yan ang kanilang mga archdioceses, hagip ang buong bansa, and they are still about 80% strong. Kasama na yung mga nominal Catholics lamang, yet they will still identify themselves as Catholics. And it is unfortunate kung kilalani lang natin ang evangelicalism in terms of being different from Catholics, because that is not the case. Ano ang dapat na makita nating distinctives ng evangelicals? Evangelicals are supposed to be the heirs of the Reformation. At yung Reformation, kung meron silang distinctives, nakilala sa mga sola. The sola scriptura in terms of the content of salvation, sola gratia, the means of salvation, sola fide, the appropriation of salvation. Kaya kung isusuma natin yung talagang distinctives ng evangelicals, sila ay mga naniniwala at nangangaral na ang kaligtasan ay sa biyaya lamang, not by works. So that sets us apart from the Catholic teaching of merit, yung pagtuturo ng simbahang Katoliko na sa pamamagitan ng kabutihan, ng merito, o sa pamamagitan ng mga sakramento, magkakaroon ng kaligtasan. Ang pinanindigan ng mga evangelicals ay kaligtasan sa paraan ng biyaya lamang. And then, pinanindigan ng mga evangelicals na ang autoridad ng ating mga pagtuturo at gawain ay mula sa kasulatan. Saan natin kinukuha ang autoridad? Sa kasulatan lamang na siyang salita ng Diyos, laban sa pagtuturo ng simbahang Katoliko na nandyan ang tradisyon at pangunahin sa tradisyon ay ang autoridad ng Papa at ng iba pang mga tradisyon sa kasaysayan. Hindi natin winawalang bahala ang tradisyon, iginagalang natin ang tradisyon, subalit ang autoridad, ang pamamahala ay mula sa kasulatan lamang. So far, this should be the distinctives of evangelicals. But since the Reformation, evangelicalism, both in the West and now here in the Philippines, has eroded into many branches of unfortunate developments. Mga hindi magagandang mga pangyayari. Kaya bakit tayo nananawagan ngayon ng Reformasyon? Hindi na laban sa simbahang Katoliko lamang, kundi may pangangailangang Reformasyon pagdating sa mga evangelicals mismo. The people who are supposed to be preaching salvation by grace, the people who are supposed to be standing upon the authority of the scriptures, why are we calling for Reformation among fellow evangelicals? Bakit tayo nananawagan ng Reformasyon sa mga kapwa natin evangelicals? Ang gusto kong sabihin ay there are several fronts. Marami pa, pero gusto kong tutukan ang several fronts. Alam nyo, sa digmaan, i-identify ng mga general saan ang battle fronts. Paano nila i-adjust ang kanilang mga pwersa, ang kanilang mga tropa ayon sa battle fronts. Dahil ayaw mo na masyado kang mag-concentrate sa isang front, lumuwag yung isa pang front, doon ka atakihin ang kalaban. Kaya kailangan alam natin yung mga iba't ibang larangan ng paghahamok sa usapin ng Reformasyon. And I have identified three fronts. There are more, but I identified three major fronts of the battle for the Reformation. At ang unang-una ay may kinalaman sa Signs and Wonders Movement. Now, tingnan natin yung development ng Signs and Wonders. At the turn of the century in 1900 was the development of original Pentecostalism. May mga nag-angkin na sila ay nabaptize ng Spirit at ang una nilang mga tanda ay yung tinatawag nilang speaking in tongues. Now, hindi yun ang gusto kong tutukan natin. I want to focus here on history. When Pentecostalism was born in 1900 and early on, they still held to evangelical distinctives. Kahit pa meron silang mga pag-aangkin ng spirit baptism, tongue speaking, pero evangelicals pa rin sila. Ibig sabihin, matibay sila sa pangangaral ng salvation by grace, matibay sila sa paninindigan na kasulatan ang dapat gamitin. Although, they have, gone astray as far as the theology of the miracles is concerned. So, ganyan yung Pentecostalism. Kaya lamang, sa pagsulong ng panahon, nagkaroon ng erosion among Pentecostals at nangyari na andyan ang charismatic movement at dito sa panahon natin, yung mga nagaangkin pa ng third wave. Kumbaga sila na yung mas development pa raw kesa pa sa charismatics. Ano itong mga nangyari sa charismatic movement, third wave signs and wonders movement? Mapapansin natin dito, they are no longer evangelicals in distinctives. May mga charismatic sa Catholics, may charismatic sa iba't ibang mga grupo, and then the third wave signs. At among the charismatics, kumbaga sa Pentecostals, ang dinidiin nila ay speaking in tongues, ang charismatics, lahat na ng miracle gifts ay kanilang inangkin. Na dapat narito yung mga miracle gifts na yan. Hindi lamang yan, meron silang prophets, at then meron silang healers. So, naging mahalaga sa kanila yan. Pag narinig ninyo yung salitang, yung expression na full gospel, yan ang inaangkin ng mga charismatics. Ang sabi nila, hindi full gospel yung evangelicals kasi wala silang healing. Para full gospel, hindi lang dapat evangelism for salvation, dapat may healing of the body rin. So yan yung charismatics. Pinalala pa yan ng third wave signs and wonders movement. Mas naging malala ang kanilang mga inaangkin. Andyan na yung pag-aangkin na bumubuhay sila ng mga patay. At hindi lang yan, andyan yung Toronto Blessing ng Canada, yung tinatawag na laughter revival, kapag nafe-feel ka raw ng spirit, wala ka ng tao, ka lang ng tao. Pag napanood nyo yung mga ginagawa nila, tawa lang sila ng tao. Eh. Pag manonood ko, matatawa ka na rin. Pero hindi ko masasabing fullness of the spirit yon. Pero yan yung nangyayari. At mayroon pang umaangkin na nakarating sila ng langit at bumaba uli. And they were taken seriously. In fact, I thought I have heard it all when someone claimed he has gone to heaven and came back. Then somebody claimed he has gone to hell and then came back. Yan yung mga very wild claims. And yet, kumakalat ito at nakakapasok sa mga evangelical churches. So yan yung mga signs and wonders. And tingnan natin una ay yung pag-aangkin ng miracles ng mga ministers. Bigyan ko kayo ng isang halimbawa.
One more time. She's been suffering with God. I feel electricity on my body here. I feel the glory of God here. Oh, I feel the glory of God here. I feel the glory of God here. Lift your hands and bless His holy name. Quickly. That's the glory of God. That's the glory of God. Bring that young man here. Sound the glory of God. Bring him up.
Did you hear how many times he said the glory of God?
Feel the glory.
Glory of God, and this is what's happening to these people. When Moses requested, show me your glory, ang sabi ng Panginoon, you cannot see my front, so I will hide you behind the cleft of the rock because no one can see me and leave. That's the glory of God. You don't play with it. No man can, by the wave of his hand, control the glory of God. So, every time I see these things, hindi ko malaman kung anong reaction ko. There are times I tend to laugh. times I tend to weep, more times I feel the anger in my heart because he's claiming the glory of God and he's controlling the glory of God. And then, yung mga tao nagtutumbahan. Ang makikita natin dito is the false and fatal association of miracles in with the wonders of God. And Filipinos are culturally vulnerable to the deception of miracle workers. At gaya ng sinabi ko kanina sa aking mensahe, ang pagtuturo ng salita ng Diyos ukol sa himalang kaloob, hindi natin po pinag-uusapan yung himala mismo. God continues to work miracles. Pero yung miracle gifts ng mga tao, ibinigay yan sa mga uri ng tao na nakapagdala ng kapahayagan. Kaya nga, sa 2 Corinthians 12:12, ano itong mga miracles na ito, sinabi ni Pablo, the signs of a true apostle. At ano yung signs of the true apostle? Signs and wonders. So may papel sa signs and wonders ng bagong tipan bilang tanda ng mga apostol. Sino ang mga apostol? Sila ang mga pinili na mga saksi ni Yesu Kristo magdala ng salita ng Diyos. And then, yung sinitas ko kanina sa aking mensahe, yung mensahe daw ng kaligtasan, yung kapahayagan, ay unang ibinigay ng Panginoon at pagkatapos ng mga nakarinig sa Kanya, and God bore witness by signs and wonders. To whom? To those who have heard. Ang ibig sabihin doon, ang gamit ng mga miracle signs and wonders, miracle gifts ng mga tao, sa kanila na nagdala ng kapahayagan, wala ng kapahayagan ngayon. Lahat ng kapahayagan nakasulat na sa salita ng Diyos, hindi na kailangan at hindi na nagbibigay ng himalang kaloob sa mga tao. At lalong pinapalala ito kapag ang inaangkin ng signs and wonders ay yung health and wealth. Lalong katakam-takam ito sa marami nating mga kababayan na lalo't nahihirapan ang inaangkin ay health and wealth. So listen to Benny Hinn again.
Proverbs 13:22. The scriptures declare that the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just.
And it's going to happen at the worst moment for the world. God is about to take their money and stick it in your hands. Did you hear what I said? You say why?
That the wealth of the sinner is just.
And it's going to happen at the worst moment for the world. God is about to take their money and stick it in your hands. Did you hear what I said? You say why? What do you mean why? Because the wealth of the world belongs to the righteous.
During a recent fire conference, Pastor Benny Hinn took a portion of the Saturday morning session to share about 6 wealth transfers recorded in the Bible, which are forerunners of a 7th transfer about to take place.
Here.
Okay, another next video continuation yan.
Here's this great superpower called Egypt. Here's this great superpower called Egypt. They had more gold and more silver than any nation on the planet. And God said to Moses, get it. In fact, God said to Abraham before that, he said, when your people come out, they're going to come out with great substance. When he met Moses at the burning bush in Exodus chapter 3, he spoke of that day and said, when I bring them out, they'll come out with great substance. They'll spoil the Egyptians. Now, when God blesses you, he blesses you big. And the Bible says, you don't have to work for it. Israel sure didn't work for it. God gave them the wealth of the Egyptians. Now, let me tell you something, people. You know, we think, well, now, I just can't accept the fact God will give me the wealth of the wicked. Wait a minute. He has done it. He's done it already 6 times in the Bible. 6 times it's already happened. Not one, 6. You say, when? All right, I'll tell you. Abraham was the first. Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Israel, Solomon.
When God blesses you, He blesses you big. And that by that He means big money, big wealth. And then He even said that you don't even have to work for it. I seem to recall 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 10, he who does not work should not eat. And here he says you don't even have to work for it. At yung sinasabi niyang 7th, yung peculiar teaching ni Benny Hinn ay binanggit niya yung mga tao na kinuha yung kayamanan daw ng mundo, binigay sa kanila, at sinasabi niya, there's a 7th, and this generation is the 7th. And that means his followers. So ito yung ginagamit ng marami ngayon. Of course, Benny Hinn is one of the more popular, but the point that they are trying to say is that if you believe enough, the blessings, material, financial, should pour into you. And gagamit sila kadalasan ng mga talata mula sa Lumang Tipan na tungkol sa pag-aani, masaganang mga kayamanan, and they fail to see that this is for Covenant Israel, because the blessing upon Covenant Israel pertains to the land. Hindi nila tinitingnan yung development ng theology at revelation pagdating sa New Testament. The abundance of our blessing, Ephesians 1:3 and following, are salvation blessings. Wala ito sa mga great commission na ibinigay sa iglesia. Sa Mateo 28, sinabi, magsihayo kayo, gawin ninyong alagad ang lahat ng mga bansa, bautismo ninyo sila, etc. Walang binanggit ditong pagpapagaling o pagpapayaman bilang bahagi ng ating panawagan sa pangangaral. This is not part of the Gospel Commission. Do I believe in healing? Yes. Healing comes from God, Psalm 103, verse 3. But when God heals, He may choose to heal miraculously. I don't deny that. But again, without miracle gifts of men, but healing medically is no less God's healing. Kaya nung sabihin sa Santiago, na is there anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil. Yung dalawang bagay niya, yung anointing with oil, hindi po yan anointing na parang religious ceremony. Ang sinasabi rin ay dalawang approaches pagdating sa may sakit. Means of grace, prayer, means of nature. The oil in the original here is not oil of anointing. Rather, this is oil of therapy. In other words, you use both medicine as well as you pray for healing. At anong sinabi ng Biblia tungkol sa paghahangad ng kayamanan? Those who desire to be rich fall into temptation. So, what is desire to be rich? Ibinilang niya sa tinawag niyang harmful desires. And yet, this becomes the very attraction of this kind of preaching. Bakit kayo makikinig sa akin? Dahil pinapangakuan ko kayo ng kayamanan. Nakita niyo ba kung paano pumalakpak yung mga tao nang sabihin ni Benny Hinn na ang mga kayamanan ng mundo ay ilalagay sa inyong kamay? Ay, palakpakan sila. Parinig mo sa mga Pilipino yan, ay lulundag pa yan. But the Bible says the love of money is the root of all kinds of evils. So I'm telling you, those of you who are looking for career and anything else, have a better motive than to be rich. The motive to be rich is destructive. It's not wrong to be rich, mind you, but the motive to be rich is harmful desire, according to the scriptures. So, yan ang isang front, signs and wonders movement, na nakapaligid yan sa atin. And then, I mentioned in an early series last month concerning decisionism, and isa pa ito sa masasabi nating front. And by decisionism, I include the whole body of doctrines behind it. Arminianism, etc. But what is decisionism saying? Again, pakinggan natin ng isang decisionistic preaching.
Besides, he was crucified on Calvary naked for you. For you, what's the big deal about walking from the balcony down here? He did all that for you and you can't walk 20 feet. He did all that for you in the chapel and you can't walk 50 feet down to the altar and get prayer. No, sir, friend. It's time to get right with God. It's time, young people, children, grandpas, mom and dad, uncles and aunts, anyone in this room that's away from God, the door tonight is wide open. This is a chance for you, friend, of a lifetime, and for some of you, it's your absolute last chance. I believe that with all my heart. You are going to harden your heart. It's going to be so hard, the Lord won't be able to get through, friend. Don't harden your heart. Let your heart melt and say, Holy Ghost, I've had it with this life. I want forgiveness. I want to come clean. I want to be as white as snow. I want to live a different life. Shh. Ooh.
Ooh. Did you get what he said? Christ died for you. Can you not get down from the balcony? Can you not walk 20 feet? You mean responding to Christ takes 20 feet? I won't even need to tell you to raise your hand because Christ is nearer to you than the length of your hand. You don't need to walk 20 feet right there on your seat. If you really come to Christ, you may come to Christ. And if you got what other thing he said there, for one who is theologically sensitive, may sinabi siya ron na your heart is so hardened, God cannot even get through to it. Can you imagine that? God cannot get through your heart until you open it yourself. So, next. So the altar call was made.
Maybe we're going to wait on Run to the Mercy Seat. Right now I want the choir, I want you to sing like you've never sung before. As soon as I begin singing, if you need forgiveness, if you're away from God, I want you to come right now.
Hundreds came. How many of those would have been given the assurance that because they stated a formula prayer, may sinambit silang formulang panalangin, ay sasabihan silang ligtas na sila, anak sila ng Diyos, pupunta na sa langit. But how many of them really had responded to the gospel from the heart? Well, only time will tell. But you see, this is the error of decisionistic evangelism. Biblical evangelism presents law and gospel at ang resulta ay conviction, persuasion. Decisionistic evangelism uses a shortened formula and ang result ng shortened formula ay assent and decision, meaning sasang-ayon sila at gagawa ng desisyon. Yun na ang gagamitin para bigyan sila ng katiyakan, and that is not what conversion is. In biblical conversion, the Spirit convicts, the Spirit regenerates. And when the Spirit convicts and regenerates, the sinner calls. The sinner will believe without dictation. Ang masama sa decisionism, ginawang formula, at kapag yung makasalanan ay dinikta na yung panalangin at kanyang inulit, yun na ang gagawing assurance para sa kanya. That's decisionistic evangelism. Ang nangyayari, dictated prayer, and then man himself gives the assurance. The Bible says in Romans 8:16 that it is the Spirit himself who bears witness with our spirits that we are children of God. It's not the task of the preacher or of any man to give that assurance. Pero dahil sa ritual ng decision, iyan ang nangyayari. At gaya nga ng aking sinabi, hindi ko tinatatwa na may mga naliligtas sa kabila ng paggamit ng ganyang pamamaraan, because the truth of God is so powerful and God is sovereign, He can use the minimum amount of truth even when surrounded by error and still convict a man and bring him to conversion. But it is in spite of the method, not because of it. But because of the method of decisionism, many more are deceived. And what do you do with those people who are deceived? So that's another front. And then the last front I want to point out is the intoxication, or gawin muna itong Acts 16:14, anong nangyayari kapag kumilos ang Diyos? Tungkol kay Lydia, binuksan ng Panginoon ang kanyang puso upang makinig na mabuti sa mga bagay na sinasabi ni Pablo. Kapag ang Diyos ang kumilos, may tutugon. Hindi mo kailangan diktahan. Now, the last front has to do with the evangelicals' intoxication with politics. Ang development dito sa ating bayan ay ganito. Noong 1986, People Power Revolution, this was sequestered, or so to speak, this was claimed by the Roman Catholic Church as their success. One of the most iconic pictures of the People Power 1986, yung mga nuns, and then of course, marami pa rin. Well, ang ilan sa atin dito ay naroon din, but nandoon tayo, not because we are representing evangelicals, but concerned citizens. But the Roman Catholic Church was there in force of, by the call of Cardinal Sin, at siya ang isa sa mga talagang bayani ng EDSA. So inangkin ito ng mga Catholics, at dahil doon, parang nasampal yata yung mga evangelical leaders, because some of them were even identified with the Marcos dictatorship then. And so, beginning then, there was a slow but steady involvement by evangelical leaders with politics. And so, ito yung nag-culminate sa presidential quest by an evangelical leader representing the evangelical church as the mandate of politics.
Sino si Brother Eddie? We have to put God back to the government, to the public square, to the marketplaces, to all pillars of the society. Brother Eddie, evangelista, ekonomista, alagad ng edukasyon, kakampi ng maliliit, kampiyon ng katotohanan, katarungan, at katwiran. Para sa bagong Pilipino, sa isang bagong Pilipinas, iyan si Brother Eddie Villanueva.
This is the last video, and by the way, I just want to make it clear, all the videos downloaded were taken from public domain, which means they were the ones who uploaded this into public domain. They wanted this to be shown publicly. So we're not breaking any law showing this in public because they meant it to be public. Ngayon, what happens here is, narinig yung interview kay Brother Eddie, na sinabi niya, our purpose is to bring God back into politics, into education. What he really means by that, if you read that between the lines, is make a Christian mandate out of politics. And it is not true. It is not correct. We are out not to make a Christian government. We want a just government. But we want Christian people through evangelism, not by political power. At yan ang kinalalasing ng maraming evangelicals ngayon ay political power, only because they have lost the sense of the power of the message. They need the message of politics in order to give them that sense of power. But let us go back to what the kingdom really is about. The kingdom of God, sinabi ni Jesus kay Pilato, my kingdom is not of this world. Adel, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have fought. Ibig sabihin, gagamit ng political means if the kingdom were of this world. But precisely because the kingdom of Christ is not of this world, we do not use political means. We heard last night the prayer meeting is important and we must attend to the prayer meeting because it is important. But don't make prayer a prayer march. Don't make it a prayer rally. In other words, don't politicize the method Christ has given to His church. Pagdating sa kaharian, we are confined to spiritual means. Now, let me introduce you to someone who knew the power of politics. This is Charles Colson. He died only last year. Colson was the counsel, the chief counsel of the then American President Richard Nixon nung sumabog yung Watergate scandal. At siyang tinawag ng mga tao noon the hatchet man because he did all the dirty works. He's a good lawyer, a genius. He was a good lawyer, a genius, and he did all the dirty works for Nixon until it was, of course, exposed. And among the president's men, It was Colson who was the first one in prison. And there in prison, he was converted and became a mighty voice. I don't share all his theology, but nonetheless, he was a powerful voice for the gospel. And this is his conclusion, our last. The whole quote is worth reading. Today's misspent enthusiasm for political solutions to the moral problems of our culture arises from a distorted view of both politics and Christianity. Too low a view of the power of a sovereign God and too high a view of the ability of man. It ignores the consistent lesson of history that shows that laws are most often reformed as a result of powerful spiritual movements, not vice versa. I know of no case where a spiritual movement was achieved by passing laws. This is a man who was at the pinnacle of political power, and he knew the limitations of politics. And when he was converted, he came to appreciate the power of God. And that is the calling of Reformation. Go back to the gospel. Go back to the word. Let the church be the church of the word, not of the world, not of false claims of signs and wonders, not of formula decisions, not intoxication with politics, but the power of the gospel is the call of Reformation. And this is a call of this time because of the state, the sorry state of evangelicalism today. So Reformation is calling evangelicals back to the evangel, the gospel. Any question? Any question or any thought you'd like to share? Makagaling kayo dati sa ganong mga larangan, and you may want to share what the Lord has used to enlighten you, to reform you.
Pastor, ask ko lang. Yung mga prosperity preachers, should we consider them as brothers or do we share the same gospel with them?
I'm afraid that the extremes of like Benny Hinn, I really am very hesitant to even consider him truly an evangelical in the sense that, in the historic sense of evangelicalism, in the way he claims so many extreme and wild claims, I have my doubts. We should exercise charity when it comes to people who may have some ideas like this, yet they maintain the substance of the gospel. But in the case of people like Benny Hinn and others like him, I'm afraid that I cannot make that position. At mag-ingat tayo sa ganyang mga mensahe ng prosperidad kapag ikaw ay naging tapat, naging masunurin, ginawa mo ang kalooban ng Diyos, ikaw ay sasagana, at kadalasan pa, idinaragdag nila na kaya hindi ka masagana, kulang ka ng pananampalataya. So, may halong kalupitan, I mean, cruelty. Here is a poor man trying to make use of what he has and still be in contentment. Now, he hears this message, and suddenly you introduce discontent to a contented man just because hindi siya masagana. Parang yung narin kong sinabi ng isa, I was happy with my life until they told me I shouldn't be because I was poor. So mag-ingat tayo sa ganyan. The promise of God, is there a promise to Christians concerning material, yung kanilang material na kalagayan? Mayroon. But the promise is sufficiency. That's 2 Corinthians 9. Sufficiency, hindi prosperity. Sufficiency in order that we may be abundant in good works. So the abundance is in our duty to do good works. Binaligtad natin. Gusto natin ng abundance in things. Pagdating sa good works, sufficient lang. Okay na yun. The promise is the reverse. So we can claim sufficiency as promise, but not prosperity. Elmer.
Pastor, what is speaking in tongues really is an exorcism?
Well, mahabang usapan, pero just in the quickest summary, Nung isummarize ni Pablo yung speaking in tongues, at by the way, pag-ibahin natin yung Acts 2, ang salita rin ay speaking in other tongues. And then 1 Corinthians 14, speaking in tongues. Speaking in other tongues, the apostles were given miraculous ability to speak in a manner, speak foreign language that they did not know before. Speaking in tongues, sa summary ng 1 Corinthians 14, is speaking prophecy in their native language na hindi maintindihan ng nakararami sa kongregasyon. Kaya ang sabi ni Pablo, dapat may translator, o ang sali ng iba, interpreter, it should be translator. Kailang isalin. Sapagkat kung hindi isinalin, eh hindi ka nakakapagpatibay. You do not edify. Pero once na may isalin, katulad na lang daw siya ng prophecy. So what is speaking in tongues? Speaking in tongues is prophecy spoken in a native language that needs translation. Hindi ito yung ginawa ni Benny Hinn kanina, kung na-catch ninyo, bigla siya nag-speak in tongues ng yung gibberish. Baski siya, hindi niya naintindihan yun. Pero gusto nilang angkinin na dahil yung espiritu ang nag-uudyok sa kanila. Hindi po yan ang speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues is real language, but speaking prophecy. Pero hindi maintindihan ng mga nakararaming iba ang language, kinakalang isalin. So, meron pa bang speaking in tongues ngayon? Ang tanong na yan ay masasagot kung sagutin muna natin, may prophecy pa ba ngayon? At ang sagot sa tanong na yan, wala na. Prophecies have ceased with the closing of Revelation. Sa pagkasabi sa Revelation 22, you shall not add to this book of prophecy. Hindi na pwedeng dagdagan. At dahil wala ng prophecy, wala na rin speaking in tongues. Other questions? Ben.
Pastor, pwede pong pabigay ulit ng practical na pwedeng gawin? Halimbawa, ng mga estudyante natin o nasa campus sila, tapos merong biglang lalapit sa kanila na mga mag-evangelize sa kanila na decisionistic yung approach. Sasabihan sila ilang gospel mga verses and then explanation and then ililid sila sa prayer. Ano yung pwede nilang gawin pag na-encounter nilang ganong sitwasyon po?
Well, be civil and be polite dahil tayo rin naman nagbibigay ng tracts at gusto natin na maging civil sila sa atin. And be polite and be civil, but then you have to reject the method na sasabihin niyang let me lead you in prayer. You have to say na I do not believe that that is the way we come to Christ. So we come to Christ by calling upon Him directly, not through the medium of a dictation. So kung may lalapit sa inyo, bigyan nyo rin, may ready rin kayong tract lagi. May dala-dala kayo. Kaya kung may kumausap sa inyo, bigyan nyo rin ng tract at maalay nyo kayo ang kasangkapanin. Meron pa? Other thoughts?
Tanong lang, kasi galing po ako from elementary to high school, galing ako sa, well, Christian schools. And naano ko lang na nung high school, sinubject kami sa ganyan method, yung pumunta ng altar, then gumagawa sila talaga ng mga scenarios na parang papayakin ka bago yun nga yung itutumba. And medyo kapag nung naisip ko ngayon, na medyo parang it's a bit sad really. Dahil hindi lang ano na talagang the whole student body pinapadaan dun sa parang process na yun. And in consideration of that, ano pong masasabi nyo regarding yung sa mga yung schools run by evangelical churches, and kung ano ba doon na iti-take into consideration ba yung education and yung kung nangyayari nga yung mga bagay na yun?
Ilang ulit ang tumumba? I think parents should really be mindful of the religious practice or background kung ipinapasok ninyo yung mga anak sa isang religious school or even an evangelical school. Dahil kung meron ng ganyang practice, ay kausapin nyo na agad yung administration na hindi nyo gustong masubject ang inyong anak sa ganung, hindi sa bawal kayong magpa-enroll sa inyong anak sa ganung klase ng school, pero you make a prior arrangement with the administration because we don't want that. And before I became pastor here in Los Baños, I was teaching for several months in a Christian academy, na hang level hanggang high school din. At nakita ko rin yung ganung mga ginagawa nila. At it can be very brainwashing effect sa mga bata. So I would caution the parents who are considering that if you really have to enroll because maganda yung kanilang curriculum, make a prior arrangement na you don't want your child to be subjected to that kind of method. When I was attending Sunday school, I think I was in grade 3 or grade 4, when my Sunday school teacher, out of her zeal, nilid din ako sa ganung prayer. The one thing that just stuck with me, nothing of the message, the one thing that stuck with me was the assurance I was going to heaven. And I fear that that is what happens sa karamihan ng nangyayari dito, na ang mag-i-stick sa kanila, not Christ or what He did on the cross or the gospel, ang mag-i-stick sa kanila, you're going to heaven because you did the ritual of prayer. And it took 10 years since before I really got to know the gospel. So maraming, why do we have to deal with this issue? Mga kapatid naman natin sila, mga evangelical sila, we have to deal with this issue just because of the thousands who are going into a Christless eternal hell while they are smiling, thinking they're going to heaven. That's the issue here. Ian?
Pastor, it's clear to the presentation that really politics is not the way to reform yung... But how about social work? Should we be more active in doing social works like mga NGOs?
Well, let me make myself clear. I'm not condemning politics. Politics is common grace. God has used politics for justice at yun ang hinahanap natin. Pero wag nating i-associate, wag nating iugnay ang politics sa Christianity. The mandate of politics is not to promote Christianity. Kaya ang mga Baptist nga ang nakipaglaban na ihiwalay natin ang simbahan sa politika. O wag dapat gamitin ang politika sa mga usaping pangsimbahan. So, politics can be good, and it has proven itself good. You want to become a politician someday and run for president, by all means, be a good one. Abraham Kuyper is considered one of the best prime ministers that Netherlands ever had, and he was a reformed theologian. Kaya hindi ko kinukundi na ang politics, but we must separate the interest of politics from that of the church. Pwede ba tayong makisangkot sa mga usaping panlipunan, pampolitika? Yes. And in fact, sinusulong natin ang simulain ng environment. Naniniwala tayo riyan. Pero pagdating sa misyon ng iglesia, ng ebanghelyo, walang kinalaman ng politika po dito. Liway.
Hindi po to question, share lang po. Kasi right. Po, pinag-aralan ko po last week lang sa history yung Holy Roman Empire po, na nagsimula na medyo strong sila, pero nangyari ay nag-declare na dapat yung Roman Church, Rise of the Roman Church, na dapat lahat ay maging Kristiyano. So, hindi lahat ay true converts. And sooner or later, parang yun yung nakasira dun sa empire, pati the fact that the Pope started to try to, they were more interested in politics than actually maintaining the church in ganon. Kaya yun nakasira sa kanila.
Well, exactly. Pero ibahin natin yung sinasabing Holy Roman Empire, hindi po yan yung Roman Empire. The Roman Empire as the empire that started with Caesar, yan ay bumagsak noong 410 AD. At yan nga ang dahilan kung bakit nagsulat si Augustine ng kanyang masterpiece, The City of God, because Rome was then called the Eternal City. And can you imagine, by the attack of the Visigoths, Rome fell. And people could not accept the reality of the eternal city being in ruins. So Augustine advanced the point, the real city as far as Christians are concerned is the city of God, not the city of man, which is Rome. Now, dahil yung mga sumunod na mga henerasyon, gusto nilang magkaroon din ng katulad ng Roman Empire, nagpanukala sila ng ganong klaseng empire sa Europe, at dahil ito ay pinag-iirala ng Roman Catholic Church, tinawag nilang Holy Roman Empire. And that Holy Roman Empire is a misnomer because it is not holy, it is not Roman, it is not an empire. Kundi panay, ano lang, yung paggugunita. Nagsimula yan kay Charlemagne, nang siya'y putungan ng korona ng Papa, siya na ang tinuring na emperador ng larangyo ng Europa na tinawag na nilang Holy Roman Empire. It is none of those things. But doon nga, lumala ang pagiging authoritarian ng Papa. At ito na yung konteksto ng si Martin Luther ay nag-alsa laban sa pamahalaan ng Papa. Tina.
Napakarami na naman po nating natutunan doon po sa lesson ngayon. At ano po, hindi ko lang po kasi mapigilan na hindi magbigay din po ng kaunting kung ano po yung tinuro ng Panginoon just recently. Kasi po, yun po ang kalinga sa nilika na imbitahan po tayo ng kalikasan party list. Movement po sila for the struggling Filipinos. Yun pong ano konsepto ng alleviation of poverty, magkaroon po ng people empowerment para po yung karapatan po ng mahihirap ay maisulong po sa ating pamahalaan. Ang nakita ko po doon na meron silang mabuting bagay, yun nga po kasi sa politics po ay social justice po, righteousness yung isinusulong nila. Pero yun pong reformation na kanina po tinatanong ni Brother Ian, na ang reformation po talaga ay nagsisimula po ito doon sa pagbabago po na ibibigay ng Panginoon sa puso ng tao, hindi lang po doon sa sabihin na po natin may common grace po sila, pero yung pong matambalan po ito ng unang-unang pangangailangan po ng kaluluwa, yun po yung isang bahagi po na pwede po natin na magawa bilang mga Kristiyano. Yun nga po ang ano po natin ay hindi po tayo magiging passive na lang din dun sa mga nangyayari. Pero yun, nakakaawa po yung kanina, ang dami-dami ng tao. Pero naloloko, yung they were being deceived at marami pa po hanggang ngayon. Pero tayo pong may hawak po ng katotohanan. Mas sana po ay ma-encourage po tayo na magkaroon po tayo ng influence kahit sa maliit nating paraan, sa kahit na saan tayo dinadala ng providensya ng Diyos. At yun po, maraming salamat sa Panginoon dahil yung pong kalinga ay ginagamit po niya na magkaroon po ng venue para ma-share po natin sa kanila ang reformation na isinusulong po ng ating simbahan.
Okay, maraming salamat, Tina. Naniniwala tayo sa pagkalinga sa mga nangangailangan, sa mga mahihirap. Remember in Galatians 2, when Paul was seeking the fellowship of the Jerusalem apostles, sabi niya, they gave readily their right hand of fellowship, only reminding us to remember the poor. So, ibig sabihin, may sangay sa ating panawagan na alalahanin ang mga mahihirap. Pero pagdating sa usaping pagbabago, politics has its role, passing laws, education has its role, educating the mind. But you see, dito natin tingnan yung papel ng iglesia sa pangangaral ng ebanghelyo. Napapagitan tayo ng sinasabi ng iba, pass laws para baguhin ang mga tao, more laws. Sabi ng isang filosofiya, give them more liberty, hayaan mo lang sila. Between liberty and law is character. Bakit ang isang tao ay hindi magsisinungaling? Hindi lang dahil may batas na huwag kang magsinungaling o siya'y pinabayaan lamang, kundi may character siya. Kaya may batas man o wala, may character siya, gagawin niya ang tama. Now you see, this is where the gospel is unmatched. The gospel is unmatched in molding character. Not passing laws or just setting to liberty, but in molding character. So why am I not interested in entering politics? They have apparently more power, but precisely because I don't feel inferior as far as political power is concerned. We have greater power because of the gospel. And I just wish to God churches would believe that. And that's the reason why we are going through reforming activities, is because we want churches to believe in the gospel again. Meron pa? Rod.
Pastor, tama bang i-ano na yung reformers nung umpisa ay sila yung mga Protestants? Oo ba yan? So, ano po masasabi niyo doon sa mga Baptists na nagsasabi na hindi sila Protestants dahil hindi sila naging part ng Roman Catholic Church in the first place?
Kaya ginamit yung salitang Protestant is because they were the ones who protested against Rome. So, ibig sabihin, if you were in their place, if you were in that century, and you joined the movement of defying the Roman authority, then you will be part of that movement called Protestants. And hindi na lang natin ginagamit ngayon kasi Protestantism has become so liberal in Europe. I don't want to be called Protestant only in that sense. But historically, yes, evangelicals were the Protestants of the 16th century Reformation. Pero ang nangyari, yung mga reformers, hanggang doon lang sila sa issue ng kaligtasan at ng gospel. The next generation were called the radical reformers because they believe Reformation must also include the church, the doctrine of the church, ecclesiology, and that's where Baptists came in. Someone raised, Mayan.
Pastor, you've been into many Reformation conferences, and I suppose this topic po, you have talked with many pastors po. Meron po ba kayong naranasan na experience, or can you share feedback po na may mga naging issue to dun sa discussion, dun sa open forum nyo? May mga pastors ba na with this decisionistic approach na na-encounter kayo?
Madalas. Yung iba, kaya ko na-identify yung fronts na yan is because this is where I experience the most tension, the most conflict. And this is where the Lord, I believe, is calling us to challenge. Kasi ito yung fronts na masasabi nating bihag na bihag ang maraming mga iglesia, yung tatlong fronts na ito. And when I say decisionism, I don't just mean the method itself, but the whole cluster of doctrines that support that method. So, hindi nyo nakikita yung mga banggaan pagdating sa mga konferensya, pag nandyan ang question and answer, and since I am the guest speaker, I have to be polite kahit na sumisigaw na. These are things which will be part of the Reformation process. At least ako, sinisigawan lang doon. Sila Martin Luther, tumatakas siya habang sila tinutugis. Hindi naman nila ako tinutugis, but andun yung tension. So one last thing.
Ako po galing sa isang Pentecostal. So naranasan ko po yung mga slain in the spirit and speaking in tongues. Ngayon po ang dilemma ko, ang tatay ko po ay naroon pa rin. So unti-unti ko siyang, actually one time pin-attend ko po ng conference, pastor's conference sa CRPC, pero pinadala po yung babaeng pastora nila. So yun po yung dilemma ko, kasi inuunti-unti kong binibigyan ng literature yung sa inyo po, saka yung mga books. Pero pagdating po sa discussion na talagang, yun yung challenge sa akin, kasi una tatay ko siya syempre, pero hirap na hirap po akong kung paano i-share sa kanya yung reform teaching. So baka po meron kayong pwedeng i-advise sa akin.
Well, unti-unting influensya, because hindi ka pwedeng, this is one thing I advise those who are looking for reformation in their churches, begin with the most vital, which is gospel. Ang iba kasi, they are like bulls in a China shop, so to speak. Magbabasag na lang kung ano-ano. Kapag ang inuna mo, tanggalin ang choir, tanggalin ang mga band, At yun ang iyong unahin, sinasabi ko nga sa kanila, you will find that the truth will set you free too soon. Baka wala ka ng trabaho agad. Unahin mo yung gospel. Pagpasensyahan mo muna yung ibang mga bagay na tradisyon na nila. Umpisahan mo sa ebanghelyo. Dahil kapag sila'y talagang na-convert, talagang naging mananampalataya, diyan ka makakaasa ng sinabi ng Panginoon in John chapter 10:27, my sheep hear my voice. Bakit mahirap magpabago ng maraming iglesia? Dahil karamihan sa kanila, hindi tupa, mga kambing, na kapag binigay mo ang salita ng Panginoon, manunuwag. Kailangan muna maging tupa sila, kaya magsimula tayo sa ebanghelyo. Kaya no matter yung hirap, yung pait, yung sakit, na sigawan ka ng dahil sa musika nila, ng dahil sa tradisyon nila, walang kailangan, basta't marinig nila ang ebanghelyo na kung gamitin ng Panginoon, doon sila magiging tupa at sila na mismo ang magugulat bakit matagal silang nagpabihag sa kamalian gayong napakaganda ng katotohanan. So why are we in this business of reformation? Because we are overwhelmed by truth. We are attracted to the gospel and to the Lord Jesus Christ and we want others too. Let us close in prayer. Dakila naming Diyos, ang papasalamat kami sa mga natutunan namin tungkol sa reformasyon at ang pangangailangan nito maging sa aming bayan. Lalo napapaligiran kami ng mga evangelical churches na masyadong nabibihag sa mga bagay na kamalian, malayo sa ebanghelyo. Maaring ito ay sa Signs and Wonders Movement at marami ang nanggigilalas na lamang sa mga pag-aangkin ng mga kababalaghan o ng mensahe ng kalusugan at kasaganaan gayong malayo ito sa ebanghelyo. Gayun din, Panginoon, sa mga formula na popular ngayon para sa pag-ebanghelyo na nauuwi sa huwad na pagkaalagad. Naniniwala kami na ang ebanghelyo mo ay makapangyarihan at kung gamitin ito ng Espiritu, ang isang makasalanan ay iyong kayang baguhin. Walang puso na lubhang sarado na hindi mo kayang buksan. At ito nawa ang lalo naming hangaan at kamanghaan. At panalangin din namin, Panginoon, lalo sa mga iglesia sa Pilipinas na lubhang nalalango sa kapangyarihan ng politika na naiiwanan ang tunay na kapangyarihan ng ebanghelyo. Tawagin mo kami, Panginoon, sa pagkilala ng makapangyarihang sandata na nasa amin, and so we accept the mandate and call of reformation, not because we are in any competition with other powers, but because we are so overwhelmed by the beauty of the truth and by the power of the gospel. And may that conviction impel us to seek the reformation of many more churches. Never mind the criticisms, the insults, and the shouting, but do use the word to bring churches back to the road of the gospel. And may your name be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.